few remaining survivors of World War II, and I think we need to lift them up today.
Okay. Amen. Yep.
The seventh reminds us Jesus rested.
Do what now?
The seventh day Jesus rested.
Oh, the seventh. You're right. The seventh day Jesus rested. Okay.
And yesterday, I was in Sam's, and there was a World War II veteran on a scooter. And he was having some problems getting some things in and out of cases. And at one point, I turned around and said, "Can I help you?" So I helped him get a couple of things. And when I was putting them in his cart, I realized that he was a veteran. And I said, "Thank you for your service." And he said, "Thank you for saying thank you." And he says, "I had it rough." And he says, "I was a paratrooper." And I said, and then he went ahead to say, "That's what the airborne is." And I said, "Yes, sir, I know. I have family that has served." And we had a nice little talk. This gentleman was so appreciative of somebody taking time to open a door and get a box off of a shelf that he couldn't get.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Yes.
So kids, if you see people with a hat on that says veteran on it, tell them thank you. It will mean the world to them.
Yes.
They really appreciate it if you listen to their stories,
oh,
too.
Yes.
My daughter has a man in the nursing home, and he was a sniper. And Lisha says, as awful as them stories are, she'll stand there and listen to them.
Yes. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, so y'all hear the phrase, "'Tis the season." Do you understand it?
Yes.
Does anybody understand it? A lot of people don't understand it. So over the next three Sundays, Lord willing, we got three Sundays before Christmas, we're going to touch upon three separate things. There's a lot more in the Bible, but we're going to touch upon three separate things. Three things that cannot, could not, would not exist without the birth of Christ. And I'm going to give you these three things if you want to write them down. And the first thing that we're going to talk about this Sunday is going to be our pursuit of eternal life. Finding out what eternal life is truly all about. The second one, Lord willing, is going to be the assurance of our salvation. How sure are we when it comes to our saving grace in the Lord? And then the third one that we're going to talk about, the last Sunday, is going to be God's unconditional love. Because without God's unconditional love, none of us would be able to spend and have an eternal home with Him forever and ever. So when we look around us at the world today and we try to explain 'tis the season, living forever is something that most of mankind has desired. They've pursued after it from the beginning of time. We're still pursuing after those things in our life. And it's because man is seeking that special gift of immortality. The problem is we're seeking it in the world. And we cannot find immortality in the world. So when we look at this and we're seeking this in our life, we're not looking. This has nothing to do with our quality of life. The things that you do here upon this earth may have something to do with the quality of how you're living your life here, but it has nothing to do with God's quality of life for us. He looks far greater. He thinks far greater than what we do. So everything hinges around wisdom and knowledge. If you remember, Satan came to Eve, said, "God doesn't want you to have wisdom and knowledge, but I do. I'll give it to you." And what happened? Sin came into the world because of our pursuit of worldly wisdom and knowledge. So this kind of thinking only comes because of worldly deceptions and we're going to mention this a few times today as we talk, the choices that we make. All right? So the things that we're going through in our life are due to the choices that we make. Now, Satan's goal is to do what? Satan's goal is to convince us to be disobedient to God, to disobey God in any way that he can. So he brings unto us promise after promise after promise, and he would like for us to believe that God doesn't want us to gain wisdom and knowledge. But God wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to have knowledge. He wants us to search for his understanding so that we might know his purpose and plan, not just for us, but for all of mankind. So Satan is going to try to distort the truth of the Word of God. And you can see this happening all over the world around us today, that the truth of the Word of God is being twisted. People are being told that they don't have to be saved to go to heaven. All of these different things that are going on in the world today. So Satan is doing this in the lives of mankind today. God wants us to stay focused on the truth. The truth is simple. The truth is easy to understand. God wants us to stay focused on that truth, the knowledge that he gives us through the Word of God. Now, how do we get that truth? How do we find that truth? We find it certainly through studying God's Word, but there has to be something on our part, something that we must do in our own life. We talked about this a little bit in Bible study, you all that were in Bible study Thursday evening. Let's go to James chapter 4, verse 7. Let me just read you one little verse here in James chapter 4, verse 7. And here's what he says, submit. Submit yourselves, what? Therefore unto God, and then resist. So two things that we've got to do. First of all, we got to submit to God. We cannot submit to God if we're not resisting the devil. So he says, submit yourself unto God. So what does that mean in our life? What does it mean for you and I to submit ourselves to God? So let me just give you a little thing here that I found. And it was is a good little quote that I found. And here's what it says. This submission is our willingness to serve. Our willingness to serve God, our willingness to follow, to be obedient to the Word of God. And we do it by humbly yielding to God's authority, the authority that brings about his purpose and plan in our life. Now, that's not all of it. We're submitting to God. We're yielding to his authority. But now we've got to be active in this. Faith without works. There you go. Faith without works is what? It's dead faith. So we've got to be active in standing firm when it comes to the choices that we make in our life concerning the temptations and the things that are going on around us in the world today. So these choices that we make, we have to learn to say no to the world. Now, when I say no to the world, it's easy because we're out here all the time. We don't like that. No, you got to say no to your own worldly lustful desires. That's where it's got to start. And we're not very good at that because some of the things that we do in the world, we like what we're doing. Am I the only one? No. That's right. We like what we're doing in the world. So therefore, when Satan presents it to us, then we have a hard time saying no. That's where it's got to start. These are the choices that we make. We have to start saying no to those things in the world that we God does not want us to be a part of, so that we can stand firm and securely in the faith and the hope of our righteousness in Jesus Christ. So now you have a lot of people out there in the world today, they'll say, well, is eternal life mean living forever? Now, come on. Yeah, it does. Huh? Sure it does.
Not here.
Everybody is going to live forever. Now, let me explain that. Okay? That's right. Yes, eternal life means you're going to live forever. And everyone's going to live forever. And you got one of two choices. You're either going to live forever in heaven, or you're going to live forever in hell. That's right. In the condemnation and the wrath of hell. Separated eternally from God. So we as believers, this is our responsibility now to help people understand that. You have people in your life. I have people in my life. If we would sit down and talk about it, we do not want to see anybody go to hell. What are we doing about it? We have to explain. We have to be able to tell people what that is that's going on in our life. So here's a lot of times why we don't understand it ourselves. Did you know, or do you understand, that the moment that you were saved, the moment that you accepted by faith believing in Jesus Christ, you accepted His saving grace, at that very moment, God instilled within you the indwelling Holy Spirit that we have, and you started living your eternal life. Amen. Act like it. Amen? That's right. So we mope around as Christians. Oh, my back hurts. I'm sick. I can't make it to church. I can't. Them don't look like people that's living their eternal life to me. Them look like people that's made bad choices and are still following after the things that Satan, the deception that Satan has put in front of us. So we need to be people that learn to live according to our eternal life. John chapter 17, verse 3. Let's go there. One little verse in John chapter 17, verse 3. And what I want you to do is when you look at this verse and you begin to understand it, we want to see the importance of our life today, but our life today according to the birth of Christ. Okay? John chapter 17, verse 3. And Christ explained this. He was praying to the Father. You know, Christ prays for us. If He didn't, we'd all be in trouble. So what does that tell you about our prayer life? We should be praying for others. But Christ was praying for us. And He said, in chapter 17, verse 3 of John, He said, "This is eternal life." Here's what eternal life is. He says, "That they," meaning us, "may know Thee," talking about the Father, He was talking to the Father, "may know Thee, the only true God, and not just you, but Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, these three," and He said, "whom Thou hast sent." So when He said that they may know Me, people just think, oh, that's just talking about salvation. We're already saved. That's as far as it goes. When you know somebody, you start to learn everything about them, okay? There's people in here that I don't want to know because I don't want to know everything about you. Oh, come on. Okay, so Christ, when He was talking about this, so how do we get to know God? How do we get to know Christ who gave His life for us? How do we get to know that in our life? So we've got many, many out there in the world today. They have believed by faith. They profess to be believers and they believe that Christ came. He was crucified to pay our sin debt. He was resurrected. The resurrection done what for us? It makes sure that sin never has to hold us back anymore in our life. And they believe all that, but they do not have a relationship with God. So I would have to ask today, even if you're here as a believer, do you have a relationship with God? And before you start saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to ask you the next question. Do you know God? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Have you really got down into figuring out who they are, what they've done? The things that God has done. God did everything and gave everything that He could. He could give no more. There's nothing else God could have done to give us eternal life. So could we sit here and say today, there's just nothing else I could do. I've done all I can to show somebody else what eternal life's all about. Could we say the same thing? No. Why? It's because we don't truly know who God is. We don't truly know who Christ is and what He's done for us. We're missing the point of our salvation because we stopped at being saved. We didn't go no further. We didn't start to mature in our life spiritually because I don't have time to study my Bible. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray every day. Oh, somebody calls and says, remember so-and-so in prayer. You stop for a minute and say, Lord, remember them in prayer. And it's gone. We don't have time. So we don't know who it is that we're serving. We don't know truly who gave us our eternal life. We just know where he is and a little bit about him. But we don't know all that he wants us to know yet. In the book of 1 John. Turn with me to 1 John. Y'all haven't been here before. You know I like to use a lot of scripture. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. It's the record. This is how he gave it to us. And he said, this life came what? In his son. It came through his son. He that hath the son, meaning he who hath believed by faith and has accepted the son, it said he hath this life or this eternal life. But if you don't have it, then you don't have eternal life. If you've never made the choice to accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now this might sound a little harsh, but if you've never made the choice to accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, then you've already made the choice to spend your eternity in hell. Okay? You understand that? And you might say, well, I've never said that. You don't have to. If you rejected Christ, it's a given. So this means that our eternal life began when we received the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The only difference is now you're living it here upon this earth in a mortal body. And one of these days when you go on to be with the Lord, you'll be living it with Him in an immortal body. But He wants you to experience it now. If you're going to search for something, search for the things that God has for you, His plan and purpose for you in our life. If we want to search for something, don't attempt to find perfection in the world because you'll never find it. You can only find perfection in God. So that means we've accepted Christ. We're one day going to go on to live with Him, but let's start experiencing it now in our life here upon this earth. And for those who have rejected, you've already condemned yourself. It's the choices that we make that either redeems us or condemns us. In John chapter 3, verse 36... John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And pay attention to this. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide with him forever. Pursuing after eternal life is very simple. There's nothing hard about it. You got two options. Option A, does anybody want to tell me option A? Accept God. Follow Him. Believe in your heart. Huh? Obedience. And one day we'll go on to live eternally with Him. Option B.
Denial.
That's right, denying. Don't accept Him. Reject Him. And the consequences of that is that we're eternally condemned in hell. Completely separated from God from now on. And you know, nobody is exempt from it. There'll be people that say, oh, that don't pertain to me. Oh, yes, it does. It pertains to everybody. Yes, all of mankind is going to find immortality through the choices that they make. But for those who find immortality without Christ, you're not going to like the outcome. It's not going to be a desirable one, but it's also not going to be one that can be changed either. What did the rich man when he was in hell? What did he say? When he looked across. He didn't ask to get out because he knew it was permanent. He just asked for some reprieve. And then he said, Lord, please send somebody to tell the rest of my family I don't want them here with me. So he knew. We know beyond anything else that the choices that we make once we leave this world are permanent. They will not, they cannot be changed. So how are you pursuing your eternal life today? We should think about that. We should ask ourselves that every day. Jump right on over with me in chapter 5 of John. Chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, all right, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You put your faith and your trust in God, God promises eternal life. You continue to put your faith and your trust in God while you're living here upon this earth, God promises that you'll get to experience it now. The joy, the happiness, the everything that goes along with it. We'll get to experience these things. We'll get to experience a relationship that began at the moment that we were saved. A relationship that comes by hearing. The Bible says hearing comes by the Word of God. And as we begin to study and to meditate and to really get into the promises and the commandments of God's Word, then it starts to become a part of us. We want this to become a part of us. Because it is Christ Himself. So as it becomes a part of us, then our faith and our trust in God begins to grow. So the next time the things of the world are coming against you, what should you do? A lot of people say, well, I pray. Get into the Word of God. Because this is where our faith and our trust in the Lord comes from. And then we begin to talk to God and we begin to ask Him to show us understanding so that we might be able to cope with the things that are going on in our life in the world. So life isn't about striving for the things of the world. It's about our willingness and our desire to truly find out who God and what God is truly is all about. Your Sunday school lessons, the last two Sundays. What was it, two Sundays ago? Come on. Who is
God?
Gee, does anybody know this one? This Sunday?
The glory of God.
Okay. So today was talking about trusting in the Lord. Okay. Gee, many Christmas.
All right. We thought it was a trick question.
So we're trying to learn about our relationship with the Lord. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable. Well, I've read the Bible through five times. I don't need to read it anymore. I've got it. Anybody with me? No. It says the wisdom and the knowledge, it's unsearchable. There is no way in this mortal body that you could begin to understand everything that God has for us, wants to show us through His Word. So he said, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? This is the question he's asking. Or who hath been the counselor? Who hath first given to him, or shall it be recompensed to him again? For of him, pay attention, for of him, through him, and to him are all things. Everything comes from God. Everything is of God. And our life is all about serving God. And that's what he wants for us in our life. So, the promise. God gives us promise after promise after promise through his word. And his promise is that if we will desire the eternal life that only comes from him, then he will make it a reality in our life. And it'll be a reality that we want more of. We'll desire more of it in our life. When you get up of a morning, it should be your desire to get into the Word of God. It should be your desire to pray. It should be your desire to seek after whatever God wants us to do as we go throughout our day. So that means if we're humble, if we fervently seek after the riches of our relationship with God, then we're going to find out that His wisdom, there is no wisdom like God's. None. No man on this earth can compare even a little tiny bit to the wisdom of God. And he wants us to experience that in our life. So that means we'll find out that his wisdom, not only is it unsearchable, it's unsurpassed. There is none like it. His judgments are righteous. The things that we're going through in our life, the judgments that I can tell you that if you think because you're a believer, there's no consequences to the things that you do wrong in your life, you're sadly mistaken. But it says his judgments are righteous. That means that he's trying to teach us through those things. He's trying to show us, to help us learn. And it's not just for you, and it's not just for me, but one of these days, God's going to lead you to somebody that's going through the same thing, and a light's going to come on up there and say, this is why I went through that, so I could help somebody else. So I could show them what God done for me through this exact same situation. Don't be bashful. It's your responsibility that God gave unto us so that we might show others that his love and his love only is never ending. So I'm going to leave you with this last verse of scripture this morning. If you go back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Here's what he says. Well, these are really good. You should mark these. He says, my son, if thou wilt. So, see, we have the choice. He says, if thou wilt. So, you can choose whether you want to do this or not. If you're a believer today, I would say choose. Choose to do so. He said, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. And he said, when you do this, he said, so that thou shalt incline thine ear unto his wisdom, God's wisdom, you will apply it in your heart to understand. See, that's a problem we have a lot of times. We read, oh, we know. I could go through and tell you this many verses, quote you this many. Do you understand any of them? Doesn't do no good if you don't understand them. So he said that you'll incline thine ear, apply it to thy heart, to the understanding. Yes, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, ask God for understanding something. That's what he's talking about. Don't be afraid. What's the Bible? Come boldly to the throne of God. Now, that's not with worldly arrogance, but that's with a humble spirit. We come boldly before the throne of God and we ask. We ask. And he said, if you'll ask, he said, If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about being, when it talks about the fear of the Lord, it's talking about our reverence. We acknowledge God for who He is. Okay? He's the master of the universe. He's a sovereign God. He's omniscient, omnipotent. What's the last one? Omnipresent, that's right. So He's all of these things, and we acknowledge that. That's what it's all about. And He says, and then will you find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And it's talking about the Word of God. Out of His mouth, this Word. John chapter 1, verse 1, what does it say? That's right. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Out of His mouth, right here, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So let me ask you this question this morning. As believers, do we truly have a desire to allow God to open up our eyes? You know, some of you got up this morning, looked in the mirror and said, "Oh Lord." That's what it means to ask God to open up your eyes. And when He does, you're going to say, "Oh Lord. Have I got room for improvement? Lots of improvement." But we have to have that because it's our choice. We have to have that desire in our life. And we want Him to open up our eyes so that He can give us wisdom and knowledge so that we might understand what it is that He is doing in our life, what He wants to do in our life, if only we will choose to follow after Him. So our desire should be to have some eternal value, to have spiritual value in our life, not worldly value. Not worldly value might get you some things, but it's not going to get you to heaven. He wants us to have that eternal value. So that means our desire has to begin and end with His wisdom and knowledge. It has nothing to do with ourselves. So let me just throw this statement out there, and you've heard it many times before, and not a lot of people want to say it because it's not a very popular statement. But I'm going to tell you right now that we must, not should, not would we must learn to put God first in our life. Okay? If, as believers, we put God first in our life, there wouldn't be a church that wasn't overflowing this morning anywhere. Okay? Now don't look around and say so-and-so ain't here because they're not putting God first in their life. Because that's not up to us to judge or condemn, but it's up to us to what? Pray. Pray. Be an example. God must come first in everything in our life. We cannot just be trying to please God for the sake of our immortality or our eternal life with Him. Because if you do, as a believer, yes, you're going to heaven one of these days, but boy, the trip getting there would be much nicer. It would be much more pleasant. It would be much more joyful. We'd be a lot happier. And when we begin to glorify God, you know what it means to glorify God? A lot of people get this all mixed up and confused, and we're doing all this hooping and hollering and dancing and singing and jumping and running in the church and all, we're glorifying God. No, you're not. you glorify God when you're an example of your salvation and other people see it and accept that salvation too. That's what glorifies God. People coming to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I'm a firm believer, and I know we're live and I don't care. I'm a firm believer that the church today ought to cut out all the other nonsense and stick to what we're supposed to be preaching. Paul said, I preach what? Christ and Him crucified. That's what the church is supposed to be doing today. The church would glorify God more if we done that. So when we learn to put God first in our life, we're going to acquire those things that God has for us. That understanding, that wisdom, that knowledge. We'll begin to understand what it truly means to pursue after our eternal life, not just skate towards it. Because one of these days when you're skating towards it, you're going to get to a place in the road that's not secure. And you know where you're going to go? Over the hill. How many of you are over the hill today? Oh, come on, a lot of you are a lot older than me. No, that's not what I meant. So we got to learn to pursue after that eternal life. So do you desire it today? Sure. And if you do, then we have to remember that it can only come from God. You can't get it anywhere else. It has to come from God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts that we look to thee, Heavenly Father. Lord, we search after and we seek after your wisdom and your knowledge. Lord, we want to understand the things that you have in store for us in our life. And we would just pray today, Heavenly Father, as believers, that as we would open our hearts and our minds to thee, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to see those things that you have in store for us in our life. Lord, you would help us to see those things in our life that aren't pleasing unto thee, those things that we need to get rid of, turn over to you, that we need to make the choice, Lord, to put those things aside and follow after you wholly and completely in our life. We would just pray today, Lord, for those out there who have yet to believe. We would pray that you would help us, Lord, to be an example, to let our light shine so that others may see your goodness, Heavenly Father, and Lord would want to come to know your saving grace. We just pray, Lord, that as we go throughout the days of our lives and as we go through this season, that we truly help people to see and understand what the birth of your Son is all about. And that, Lord, that we might help show somebody the way to salvation. We just pray this day, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. And help us to make better choices in our life so that the things that we say and we do would be pleasing unto thee and would come to glorify your holy name. We ask all these favors in the name of thy Son's, his most precious name, and amen. If you're here this morning, you have a need or a burden, if you're here and you're unsaved, we certainly want to invite you to an altar of prayer. What do we have? 383.
Jesus faithful, all to him I owe. Sin with the crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. For nothing good am I, whereby my mercy claim. I'll wash my garments dry in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain.
Does anybody else have anything this morning? We're going to get to something here else here in a minute, but anybody? We're going to praise the Lord three times, but don't go anywhere, okay?
The doxology too.
Huh?
The doxology too.
Okay, let's do it. I forgot. Thank you for reminding me.
Do you want to do it before or after the praise the Lord?
We can do it now. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can be seated except